This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Praise God. It's truly an honor to be here again this morning. I want to sincerely honor and celebrate God's servant and his dear wife who is here present, Pastor Uche Aigbe. Thank you so much for having me. Hallelujah. I also sincerely want to honor the leadership of the house. Thank you for the excellent work. Thank you for your passionate service. It's always an inspiration to come here and share God's word. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord again this morning? The Bible said he sent his word to them and healed them and delivered them from all their afflictions. Whenever the word of the Lord comes to us, it changes our lives. It transforms us and it shifts us from one level of glory to another. This morning, our hearts are open to receive the engrafted word with meekness. He said, from the days of thy youth, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to give you, make thee wise, and to bring you unto salvation. If there is a kind or a dimension of salvation you require this morning, ask the Lord for the word to get into your spirit. Ask the Lord for the grace to interact with the word with faith. He said it's the same word that was sent to them that was sent to us. However, he said it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. Can you ask the Lord this morning that you believe the word, you receive the word with meekness, and you receive to do? Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We honor you. This morning again, we humble ourselves before you, precious Redeemer. We ask that you grant us illumination. We ask that you grant us access into the deep things of the Spirit. Even as we look upon the Word this morning, we receive the blessings that comes with the Word, and we ask that we be empowered and shifted from one level of glory to another. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. This morning, our time is very short, and I'll be speaking to us on the power of fasting. I understand there's a prayer and fasting program that will be engaging in this season, and so it's important to do what we do with understanding. In this kingdom, one of the most precious assets you have is understanding. However, spiritual understanding is different from mental capacity. You cannot know a spiritual thing except as it is revealed to you. When you come to the corridor of spirit reality, experience can become a disadvantage. And so nobody is a master. That's why it takes humility, it takes brokenness, it takes meekness for us to come into the depths of God. And so this morning we are trusting the Lord that he will grant us understanding. He said, search ye out of the book of the law and read. He said, none of these things shall fail. He said, the mouth of the Lord, it has spoken it, and his spirit has gathered it. And so every time we look upon the word of the Lord, we are interacting with the breath of God. And so it does not only come to enlighten us, it comes to shift us, it comes to transform us, it comes to transfigure us. So we become exactly like God. However, it is important that the things we hear, we practice and put to work. I tell people, I say Christianity is not difficult, but Christianity requires practice. He said that whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. He said, however, strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. And so this morning, the fact and the sign that you are mingling these words with faith is the fact that you are taking them to apply them, not just to be impressed by them, not just to be fascinated by them, but that you will take them for the purpose of application, because it's in applying that the blessing comes. And so in order for us to make the most of the teaching this morning, I decided to separate it into four categories. The first is just to understand why we fast. The second is to open our understanding to the benefits of fasting. The third is to help us learn how to put the resources we generate from fasting to work. And the fourth is on how to inspire others to engage this enterprise, kingdom enterprise of fasting. And so let's begin from Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 15. Why we fast? I'll advance three reasons very quickly. We fast because God calls for fasting. Fasting is not a product of human intelligence. We did not become creative. We did not become wise. We were not just sensible, and we felt every time we decide to stay away from food or things that appeal to us, it's beneficial. It's God himself that first of all put a demand for his people to fast. He said, therefore also now saith the Lord, he said, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping. And so when we are dealing with this very sensitive spiritual engagement, we need to understand that the Supreme Being himself is the one who demands for it. And so this will help you to put in the level of seriousness and the focus required to fast. Because many people think fasting is just a church program, and they do it carelessly and haphazardly. The consecration requirement, the hallowedness required in the time of fasting is not there. There are many people who fast and spend all the time watching movies because they think it's about staying without food for a particular period of time. Fasting is deeper than that. A spirit is inviting you to a time of intercourse, a time of focus, and a time of attention to him alone. So it's a call that God puts on the human spirit. You find that also in Joel 1:14, and it's replete in scriptures. The second reason we fast is that maturity demands it. If you want to grow in this kingdom, you must engage this enterprise of fasting. There's no mature Christian who does not engage in fasting periodically. Time and again, you will have to stay away from food. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible made a very strong statement. It said, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of the nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. And so fasting and the ability to stay away from food or to eat food for the purpose of service and strength is an act of nobility. And in this kingdom, when you come into maturity, you are royal. And so you effuse the characteristics of royalty. And so every noble in this kingdom knows how to interact with food. He knows when to stay away, and he knows the purpose for which he eats. There are many mature people, grown up, is he mature now? There are many persons advanced in age who eat chocolate. They just love it because it appeals to their taste bud, whereas it's destroying them. They don't understand the place of strength. But when you become mature in the kingdom, you prioritize correctly. And so your interaction with food is to empower you for kingdom advancement. And so there'll be a time where you have to stay away from food in order to advance in spiritual sensitivity, to pick signals from heaven and to navigate with the Spirit of God. And there are times where you have to eat and eat the right diet so you'll be strong to do kingdom work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 5, when Paul was giving us his credentials, one of it is fasting. He said in stripes, imprisonment, in turmoil, in labors, in watching, and in fasting. He fasted often. And so one of the reasons Paul stood out amongst the apostles is the fact that periodically Paul engaged in the enterprise of fasting. And so fasting is necessary for maturity. And the third reason we must engage in fasting is the fact that every man is tested around his appetites. If you have not conquered your appetite, you are a failure waiting to happen. The very first man God created was tested around his appetite. Adam, who was the first design, he was supposed to be the best. He was supposed to be the most advanced of God's creatures. However, when the test of appetite was put forward, he failed woefully. The devil came to him. He didn't test his intelligence. The devil came to him. He didn't test him on any other thing but his appetite. This was a guy manifesting highest level intelligence. All the animals God created, he didn't need to read a book. He didn't need to consult with any document. He could name the animals according to the names that God named them. But he failed the test of appetite as though he was an inexperienced person. And truly he was. Because if he was experienced, he would have known that he must have developed capacity in the area of appetite. And he failed. Even Jesus, the Son of God, was tested around his appetite. When the devil came to him, the first thing he said is, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." And the Bible made us to understand that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. You would expect that because he was hungry, he will rush to eat bread. But there is a hunger that educates you in the spirit. And so you will begin to understand priorities from the scales of the mortals. So Jesus was not moved to demonstrate power just to prove a point. Because the fasting gave him a tutelage in the spirit that made him to choose the things that God chooses. If a man does not master his appetite, he will be a puppet in the hands of demonic spirits. Our pursuit in this life, many persons work for their bellies. Many persons enter into relationships for their bellies. The bellies of men have become their gods. And so when we fast, it's because we are preparing ourselves for the day of trial. Because one of the areas we must be tested and one of the areas we must pass is the area of appetite. Having said that, I want to quickly look into the subject itself. What is fasting? And how should fasting be done? What's the concept about? Primarily speaking, fasting is simply the ability to stay away from desires in order to seek the face of God. If you don't have the capacity to stay away from desires to seek God, number one, it means you are a slave of your desires. And number two, it means God is not a priority in your ecosystem. These two things are the things that gives us relevance in the realm of God. A man who can tame his desires, live above his desires, is a man that the spirit wants to work with. And a man who prioritizes God above his desires is a man God wants to commit his kingdom to. And so when we are looking at the subject of fasting, it's not just about food. It's actually the ability to suspend your desires and to prioritize God for a season in order to grow in your walk with God. Now, let me explain this from four simple contexts. Number one, when you suspend your desires to seek God, it therefore means fasting is an act of turning to the Lord. Everybody who fasts turns to the Lord. Fasting is not an act of turning to a movie. Fasting is not an act of distracting yourself with friends until a particular time is met. Many persons embark on fasting for as much as 21 days. They never turn to God. In that 21 days, they say, "This period, thank God, I'm going to be indoors." And they gather seasonal movies. They watch Prison Break. They watch Kyle XY. They watch 24. And they are just on it. When they finish, they turn into Korean movies. And they start watching love episodes. When they finish from Korea, they turn into India. And they start watching. But you are whiling away time. You are not fasting. If it is fasting, you must turn to the Lord. We saw that already in Joel chapter 2. He said the Lord called for a fast. He called for a hallowed assembly. Men must turn to the Lord. He said, "Therefore now saith the Lord, even the Lord of hosts." He said, "Turn ye even unto me with all your heart." with all your heart. So when a man is fasting, he turns to the Lord with all his heart. In Ezra chapter 8 verse 21, Ezra said, I proclaimed a fast there by the river Ahava. He said, so that we might afflict ourselves before the Lord. So fasting is actually a business of directly engaging God. Every time you turn to the Lord, you have suspended your desires. You may be eating, but you may have disconnected from something else that is important to you, even much more than food. However, make sure food is a part of it, because food is the primary requirement. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number two, fasting is a time of helping the helpless. Many say they are fasting, yet they are callous. Very callous. If you have turned to the Lord, one of the things that must happen to you is that God will reveal his standards to you. And the standard of God is consistent with his love nature. And so a man cannot claim he's turned to the Lord and he's not benevolently disposed towards others. In Isaiah 58 verse 5 to 6, here is what the Lord said. The congregation of Israel were fasting and afflicting themselves. And God came and asked them a question. He said, who are you fasting unto? And the people were shocked. Is it not you we are fasting unto? We are afflicting ourselves. We have turned to you. And the Lord said something. He said, is this the kind of fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a burush? Is it to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast? And is this an acceptable day to the Lord? And God now began to tell them what he considered a fast. He said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, to break the yoke of the shoulders of the helpless. He said, fasting is not just to wear ash clothes. Fasting is not just to punish yourself. Fasting is not just to turn to the Lord. He said, if sincerely you have turned to the Lord and you have poured ash cloth on your one ash cloth and one sackcloth and poured ashes on yourself, he said it should reflect in your relationship with others. If it doesn't reflect, then I don't know that fast. In Zechariah chapter 7 from verse 4 to 10, the Bible gave us a story so surprising. It said a people fasted for 70 years. I didn't say 70 days. I didn't say 70 hours. They fasted for 70 years. And God came to them. I was asking them, what have you been doing in 70 years? They said, we've been fasting for 70 years. By now, we expect that we should have generated power. You see, I don't know. I'm not aware of it. Because what I saw was callousness. What I saw was oppression. You say you are on 21 days fast, and the lady who is a nanny in your house doesn't even have soap to bathe. But your children are rubbing cream that came from England. And you say, oh, we are on fire. We are fasting. We are laboring for God. This is the season. Which season? Your worker who you are paying just 30,000 naira, you are owing him for 2 months. You say, no, the money is in fixed deposit. We are trying to make some gain. I did some investment here and there when the investment come. And you buy the charge card for 20,000. You wake up, you say, Kai, I need to go to Beirut. What did they say the color of the sea in Bahamas is? I want to see how the blue sea looks like. And you are spending 20 million for fun. And the worker that is earning 30,000, out of this 30,000, he will pay hospital bills. He will eat food. He will transport to work. And if he doesn't come to work by 7:30, you will give a query and deduct 100 naira every day. In fact, sometimes the salary of 30,000, he ends up going home with 8.5, because he must look for a way to deduct 50% of the salary. And then you come to church, you say, Father, look upon your servant. We are here seeking. They say, you are a hypocrite. This is not fasting. You see people lift up holy hands. All the holy hands is full of diamond and gold. Whereas the house gear at home cannot receive 10,000. How can somebody be working for you and you are giving him 10,000? In this, can 10,000 pay for transport? Whereas your recharge card in 1 week is 30,000. He said, see, there's a difference between being righteous and being just. Being righteous is the ability to stand before God, but being just is to function like God. I can get a cab. Let me give you a graphic illustration. I can get a cab from Lugbe to Kubwa. And because the cabman doesn't know the distance,
He can charge me 1,000 naira. It is right for me to pay him because that's what he charged me. But I know that from here to Kubwa cannot be 1,000. So when I get to Kubwa, I will tell him, no, this journey should be 2,500 or 3,000. Take 3,000. If I pay 1,000, I'm righteous because I paid what he told me. But because you are just, your conscience won't let you do that. If you have not come there, he say your fasting is an act of hypocrisy. And if you like, do it for 70 years. God will know it. And so the second thing that defines the concept of fasting is the ability to be benevolently disposed in righteousness and in justice to one another. If that is not happening, it's not a fast. People fast for 2 years, they are keeping money. They say you just wasted your time, and be careful so that you don't end up with ulcer. Because if the power of God does not come upon that your fasting, there will be chemical imbalance. That's why many people fast into sickness and death, because they are fasting with malice, they are fasting with wickedness, they are fasting with all kinds of fleshly garbage. God does not recognize it. And so the second thing that defines the concept of fasting is justice, is righteousness, is kindness, is love, devotion to one another. The third thing that defines the concept of fasting is separation in prayer. You can't fast without praying. More than 70% of the time, the word fasting is used in scripture is fasting and prayer. And so if you cannot pray, then you can't fast. Because if you are fasting, you are separated in order to engage God. There's actually no fasting without prayer. Fasting without prayer is a hunger strike. The Bible speaking, it said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, the Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he said Jesus was there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted and he prayed. It's not possible to be separated unto God and the prayer appetite is not awoken. And so every time a man genuinely fasts, there's a burden for prayer. You must engage the spirit that you sat under. You must engage the spirit that you are separated unto, because it puts a demand on prayer. And finally, fasting is a time of humbling ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, he said, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, that thou mightest know that man shall not live by bread alone. So he suffered them to hunger in order to humble them. And so every time men fast, they are humbled. Even if you don't want to, your physical energy will leave you. And so you who is a giant, nobody can talk. When you don't eat for 3 days, you will notice something. Before it starts happening to your soul, there will be biochemical process. So many things will happen. You square your chest on the shoulder, the chest will shrink. That chest that you put tight and you walk, it will shrink. It will shrink. If you see yourself in the mirror after 7 days, you will now see your original face. That one is not cosmetic. Fasting will reshape your stature, or you will see the way God wants you to be. And then most importantly, apart from the physical and morphological rearrangement, God will begin to speak to your soul. Because many times, because we are busy with life, we don't get the opportunity to hear the voice of God. It's when we are separated that God begins to speak to us. And many times, when God speaks to us, he begins from the area of the flesh. He said, for the spirit wrestles against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. Galatians 2:16. And he said, the two is against one another. If God does not tame your flesh, God can't walk with you. And so when a man separates himself unto the Lord to walk with God, God will begin to address fleshly issues. And one of the major things about flesh is to be puffed up. That's why he said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so every time a man is separated unto God, God begins to tame that pride. And so fasting is the time to humble. And that's why in the Old Testament, when men fast, they put on sackcloth. They pour ashes on their heads because they are sustaining a disposition of humility. In Psalm 35 verse 13, the Bible said something. It said, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting. So fasting has intrinsically built a technology for humbling the soul. If these four things are in place, then your fasting is accurate and your fasting can engender a kind of result, which is the major emphasis we want to look at today, the power of fasting. When a man fasts, there are powers that are generated, but the fasting must be done correctly in order for these powers to be generated. And in the next 8 minutes or so, I will just outline one of the powers that fasting makes available to us, and that power is called divine favor. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Israel, the existence of Israel was under attack, and there was a threat of annihilation. And so you know, this is not just I have problem with my neighbor. This is the government, the power of the government, the greatest government in the world, turned against the smallest tribe in a colony in the nation to annihilate and to wipe out. You will need a lot of connections that have authority to alter policies, connections that break protocols to enter the highest corridor to be able to revert this. And this is not even possible because this is the era of monarchs. In the era of monarchs, they don't function by policies. They don't function by delegations from a Senate chamber. If the king speaks, his word is law. And if the seal is put upon it, it's finished. The only time it can be reversed is for you to get the king to change his mind. And that's the hardest thing you can ever find. And so Israel definitely was going to be annihilated. There was a power they needed to revert things. And that power is favor. But how did they engender it? In Esther chapter 4 verse 16, when Mordecai called her, you cannot be at peace at this time when Israel is being threatened. You have to rise up and play your part. And if you fail to, he said, God will raise help from another place. Even Mordecai was hoping that because Esther is queen, Esther can walk into the king's chamber and seduce the king or talk to the king, and the king will change his mind. Unfortunately, it was not even her time on the timetable to see the king. So even if she had the power to change the heart of the king, she didn't have the right to enter, because according to the law, you don't enter until you are summoned. And so this one was a must, it would happen. But Esther knew a secret that Mordecai didn't know. He said, take a 3 days fast and fast for me. He said, and I will go into the king's chamber, which is against the law. And he said, if I perish, I perish. That is not a casual statement. Because if you enter when you are not called, you will perish. They will behead you. He said, but I am willing to take the risk of my life to save Israel. However, there is a slim chance. And that slim chance is tied to the mystery of fasting. And the Bible said, Esther and her maidens and Israel fasted for 3 days. And suddenly, oh, this lady's power was supposed to be her beauty. Why will you now denature yourself and disfigure yourself when you should look ugly? There is a kind of beauty that is not morphological. There is a kind of beauty that is spiritual. There is a beauty that eyelashes can produce. There's a beauty that good garment can produce. But you see, a king looks beyond eyelashes, because a king sits on a throne. He has seen all the shapes. And so the only thing that can get the attention of a king is the perfume that comes from the chambers of heaven. And so when the lady fasted, she stepped in and the king looked upon her and called her to come. Before she asked, the powers of favor went to work. And the king said something. He said, what do you want? He said, ask me. And before she asked, the king made a statement that suggested he was not trained. Because a king's word is law, so kings don't talk quick. Meanwhile, this king told her, whatever you ask me, are you okay? That was the mistake one king made, and said, ask me anything. And they asked for the head of a prophet. He couldn't change his mind, because if you do, you'll be considered a weak king. But this king, favor, you know, favor is like a spear. He didn't know what he was saying. Even his utterance were given to him. He said, ask even up to half of my kingdom. The man was willing to share power. What kind of authority? But the Bible said the reason that manipulation was happening was because Esther had found favor. But that favor was not a gift. It was engendered by fasting. And so when men fast, they are rubbing a perfume that they cannot see. When men fast, they are stepping into an economy of favor, an economy that has the power to break protocols, an economy that has the power to change the heart of a king. If you study the whole scripture, only one being has the authority to change the heart of kings. It's God himself. He said the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. He has the power to turn it. And so when you generate favor, you become like the hand of God. The hand that can alter the heart of kings. That was the power Esther entered into. Do you know what favor does? I tell you three things quick before I stop. There are three things favor does. Number one, favor opens your heaven. You'll find people who walk under open heaven. If they enter a desert, they prosper. If they enter a forest, they prosper. Environment can't limit them. Know that they are connected to another environment. If you see a man that cannot be limited by a physical environment, it means he's connected to a spiritual environment. Because physical environment have the power to limit. But when you are fused to heaven, then no territory can shut you down. Go to Congo, you are the same. Go to England, you are the same. You are growing and prospering non-stop. It's because of an open heaven. And open heavens are engendered through fasting. In Acts chapter 10 verse 1, the Bible said Cornelius. Cornelius was not supposed to enjoy the commonwealth of Israel because it was not for everybody. He said Cornelius was of the Italian band. Even the apostles at this point didn't want the Gentiles to participate in the blessings of God because they didn't feel it was correct. Jesus himself said it was for the house of the Jews that I'm sent. So they were following what Jesus said. This thing we are giving is only for the Jewish people. But here is a Gentile who did not go to Jerusalem to look for Peter, who did not go to seek for Barnabas. He knew if he wanted to follow the protocol of going to look for Peter, it will take a lifetime because Peter won't come. In fact, the moment they hear that the Gentiles are seeking this thing, they will create a system to lock it up. But he knew how to violate protocol. He said the man gave himself to fasting and prayer, and suddenly an angel stood before him and said, "Send for Peter. He is in the house of Simon the Tanner." He said, "Go and tell him to come tell you the word of this life." While that encounter was taking place, Peter went up to pray, and an angel went to Peter again, showed him a vision three times. Peter refused, and because Peter's understanding won't let him, he gave him a commandment. "I know you won't agree. Now I command you, stand up, follow the men waiting for you." So Peter didn't go to the Gentiles because he wanted to. But there is a power that breaks protocols. That power opens the heavens. When a man begins to fast, angels go to walk. That's when you walk from rest. You are not talking, things are happening. You are sitting where you are sitting. Angels are mobilized. One comes to you, another one goes to another location. And then you have a contract. You want to bid for a project. You know you are the least qualified, but you will support that project with 20, 21 days fast. As you are doing it, the angel is talking to who is to sign. The angel is talking even to the laborers that we work. And by the time you get the project, everything just connects at the same time. And you are wondering, what is going on here? Your heavens are open. You don't succeed in business because you are intelligent. Yes, intelligence is required. But a spirit will support you. Because for every cadre of power, they are gatekeepers. And if your heavens are not open, you will struggle. You will struggle every time you need to transit. Fasting opens your heaven. Did you not see when Jacob was blessed? When Isaac was blessed, I beg your pardon. He said, "I bless you with corn and wine." What are you talking? He said, the dew shall be perpetually on your field. This guy had outgrown inflation and deflation. It doesn't matter the economic system. It doesn't matter the policy. The heavens are open. That's why Paul prayed. He said, "My God shall supply your need, not according to the government of your country, according to his riches." His riches, his riches. You can be in United States and sleep on the street. It's not just about the nation. It's about the economy you are working with. And if you want to connect to the economy of heaven, give yourself to fasting. The second thing fasting does is that it commands the allegiance of men. See, men will support you. Men will align with you because you look handsome. Or because your ideas are great. In fact, if you are not careful, they will steal that idea. The moment you start prospering, they can gang up against you. Put CCTV everywhere. They can still cheat from you, steal from you, and defraud you. But there is a power that commands the allegiance of men. When a man is favored, when a man is favored. Did you not read about Jesus? Luke 2:52. He said the child Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and with favor, both with God and with man. He had to, even Jesus had to grow in favor. And Jesus carried so much favor that when he left, his disciples did not change their mind. His disciples did not betray him. His disciples died for him and they called it an honor. How can you be dying for somebody and you call it an honor? Peter was a married man. When they were about to crucify Peter, he didn't say, let me write a letter to my wife. Oh, my beloved wife. He forgot. Because of the level of favor that was upon the life of Jesus, it was an honor for them to serve. At one point, they were flogged and they came back celebrating. Thank God, we do have the privilege to be flogged on his account. Have you not seen people laboring for somebody and you come and look at them? You say they are brainwashed. Brainwashed? Do you know them? People don't know how these things work. This is why pastors fast a lot. People look at you and say, imagine, see the way he brainwashed these people. Do you know the people you are talking about? Some of them are professors. Some of them are army generals. Some of them are medical doctors. So you think you are wiser than the whole of that congregation. Maybe you should come and take a sample and find out the people there. Some of them are young. Some of them are old. So you think one small boy can stand somewhere and brainwash these people with all of these credentials? You are the one who is deceived. There is a power called favor. If that power is on you, it said daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. The host of a man can become like the host of God if he has sufficient favor. And finally, favor causes wealth transfer. I know we labor in business. I know we have contracts. We broker a lot of transactions. But see, true wealth comes by different means. Hard work does not produce wealth. Ask wealthy men, they will tell you. Hard work is enough to give you food to eat. They say, let him than store, steal no more. But let him work with his hand, that he may have to eat and to give to others. What gives wealth is a power. They say, you shall remember the Lord thy God. It is him that give thee power, giveth thee power to get wealth. It's spirits that give wealth. He said, God gave riches to Solomon. You don't stumble. It's a mystery. And one of the mysteries of wealth is wealth transfer. Suddenly the lines fall for you in pleasant places. You go to see a friend and the friend tells you about a contract and you just write carelessly. And suddenly they told you 1 billion is waiting somewhere. See what you can do with it. It's not because you were creative. It's because favor manipulated the tides to get you in alignment, to get you in season. And a simple conversation that does not require opening all the textbooks from Harvard brought you into fortune. Because favor is at work. He said, God gave favor to the Israelites and despoiled the Egyptians. I can tell you, many struggling people today are intelligent. Many struggling people today are super qualified. But there's something lacking. There's favor. There's favor lacking. And so the more they work hard, the more they are weary. Because the labor of the foolish, you weary them. They know not how to enter the city. Work hard. I beg you, work hard. You will need it. If you don't work hard, you are not qualified. But in addition to hard work, there must be perfume. There must be a perfume. It's called favor. And one of the ways of generating this perfume is by fasting. Fasting is a power. And that power is called favor. Rise up, let's pray. that money more than you. There's something on your life that compels him to give you. It's not because you have a need. See, sometimes we go to tell people our needs, and we think if our needs appeal to them, or if we sound reasonable, they will help us. It's not how you presented it. How you presented it is good. It's called wisdom. But if there's no favor on your life, I tell you, there are many persons who don't need to talk that needs that money to him more than you. For him to leave them and give you is because there's something on your life. You see 1,000 people, 2,000 people following one person. It's not because he's smart. There are many smart men. There's something on his life that causes those people. Imagine how early it is this morning. See this auditorium. There are many churches in Abuja today. They do evangelism more than all of you put together. They are doing evangelism from Sunday to Sunday. But if you come to church, they are 20. If the pastor is opening the Bible, you will wonder, is he a spirit that teaches him the Bible? But here, 7 a.m., auditorium is full. There is something. It's something that woke you up. It's something that got you enthusiastic about service. It's something that drove you to church. It's something that kept you here. It's called favor. And the same thing applies to your company. The same thing applies to your business. If favor comes, it commands the allegiance of men. I prophesy over someone this morning. As you engage on this fasting altar, the favor you need to break protocols, it rests upon you in the name of Jesus. There are many people, hear this, brothers and sisters, there are many people who are very kind, very nice, very generous, but they are the most betrayed. In fact, the more they help people, the more people see the opportunity to betray them and to hurt them. And so their heart is full of pains because they don't know why these people they've done all for should betray them. There's no favor there. There's love, there's compassion, but there's no favor. Because when favor comes, men consider it an honor to serve you. And so I pray for somebody this morning. The favor you require in order to have security and advantage with men, I release it upon you now. 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 In the name of Jesus. So many young ladies, they spend all their life cooking for a man. When the man wants to marry, he now meets them and say, I appreciate your friendship. You have been so kind. Thank you for all you've done for me. I just want to give you the good news. I'm about to get married. That's when it was down on the lady. He never gave her his word. All the years of cooking wasted. And there are some men who train ladies in the university. By the time they graduate, they come home and start speaking English. Yeah, how you doing? You know, I'm just thinking of getting married and I don't know, will you be present? Are you all right? After we profess love to each other, I've spent monies, waited for 5 years, you'll come back from NYC, you came with English. I prophesy over you, the betrayers of men, the scorching of the tongue, I exonerate you from it by favor in the name of Jesus. There are many persons full of wisdom with the best credentials, but they will never amount to anything. When they finish working, they are looking for the reason why they shouldn't pay them. When they come to get a job, they say they are too qualified. I prophesy over you, the favor that brings wealth, the favor that brings wealth, the favor that brings wealth, it rests upon you now, it rests upon you now, it rests upon you now, in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Hallelujah. shut against you. By the power of favor, I command it to open. Somebody hear me. That thing you have been trusting God for, you have made all the human connection, you have given money, you have done everything you need to do. Without doing anything, this week it opens to you. Somebody will receive something this week that is bigger than everything he has received in the last 10 years. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just appreciate him. Just appreciate him. Just appreciate him. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody give the Lord a shout!
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.